I wanted to let you all know that after the service, we are continuing with Lemonade on the Lawn. If it is a warm day, or I guess cooler than it has been, but nonetheless, a warm day needs a cool drink, as well as some good time with everyone. So I invite you to join us on the lawn after the service and have a cool drink and spend some time with one another. Let us pray together. God, we thank you for your word and that it speaks to us. We pray this morning that we might hear a word from you. Help us to understand who you are and how you work and how you are active in the world and in us. God, we set aside the distractions that might be on our minds, the worries that we carry. We set them aside knowing that they are with you, and that is where they should be. It's the best place for them. So God, we ask again, may we hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past several weeks, we've been reading through the book of Ephesians, making the journey with the Apostle Paul as he proclaims God's vision for the world through the church. He has spoken of how sin has made people dead, but Christ's death and resurrection has made people alive. We are resurrected to new life, and that same power divides hostility that exists between people. Through Christ, we are united with God and united with one another, and through the Spirit at work in us, we are transformed in our own lives and in our communal life together. We put away the old self and put on the new life in God, and we live into the calling that God has given to us, to live in love. We grow up in our faith, living into who God has made us to be. Now, every week, we've talked about how this is a tall order. But it's a tall order that God does, that God accomplishes through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's work of building the church and transforming people is a work of grace. God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. And yet there's a tension that exists, that we still somehow have some agency in this. It's God's work, but it's also ours. We're more than puppets who are limp and passive, just waiting for the strings to get pulled. It's God's work, and God puts his Holy Spirit within us to restore us and transform us, to enable us to do this work with God. Our passage today reminds us of the call that we received last week to be imitators of God, living out the work that God does in us, in the life that we live in the world. Paul continues here to articulate this sort of nitty-gritty, the explicit details of the implications of a life spent with God. Just prior to the verses that we read today, Paul discusses how imitators of God are living in love, and they will have a transformed life as they live as Christians together. And our passage reminds us that God calls us to live with wisdom and with understanding of who God is. We are to make the most of our days. We are not to be foolish, but to understand God's will of love for the church and for those who claim to be a part of it. We're called in our passage today to be filled with the Spirit. This is some sort of mystery, isn't it? God in us, Holy Spirit in us, the divine and the human somehow intertwined. Especially since most of our days, well, maybe not for you, but for me, they seem pretty ordinary, not particularly holy. For many of us, if we were to think of a holy day, we would think of today, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, here in these walls. Our voices joined together in prayer and in song, our lives knit together as we share peace with one another and our lives. But the rest of the days of the week, or even this afternoon, much more ordinary than holy, more work than worship. And yet Paul's words to us today suggest that the transformed life of the Christian has lived with wisdom, understanding, and full of the Holy Spirit, is to result in worship, singing psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, both together and within our hearts. Our transformed life is to result in worship. But regular life and the ordinary bits of waking, sleeping, eating, working, relating, they really don't feel like worship on a Sunday morning. On a bad day, these ordinary bits feel a bit like failure or just really hard work. On good days, maybe they just feel like getting by. Could God possibly be in the ordinary bits of our life? Could God be in the choices that we face as to how to spend our time? Questions of passing the hours with a surplus of entertainment or passing them by using our gifts wisely in the world? Could God be in the regular bits of shopping, cleaning dishes, mowing the lawn? Could God possibly be in the bits as we pass by strangers and friends, as we encounter the mundane moments of regular life in work and play? Could God even be there? And so we turn again and again, like we do every week, to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is God and human, God in flesh. And we're reminded that there are no days of the week, no hours of the day that God has not lived on earth as a human being. There's no ordinary act of waking, sleeping, eating, working, or relating that Christ has not experienced, that God has not entered into. There's no stage of humanity, no stage of ordinary that is not already intermingled with God. The mystery and the intertwining of the holy with the ordinary. When God became human in Jesus Christ, all of life's holiness, even in the ordinary, was redeemed. And God's sending of the Holy Spirit is a continuation of God's mysterious work in the world. We're filled with God, and that filling can't be partitioned off to only 1 hour on Sunday morning. But as we live with life filled by the Holy Spirit, as we walk in the ways of Jesus Christ in the world, imitating Christ's love, we are living a life of worship, not just an hour, but a life. Now, a life of worship sounds a little bit odd. I'll admit this. Because when we first hear it, you might think, Pastor Leanne, am I supposed to sing all day? I should not sing all day. I'll admit that. But when we consider the work of God as entering into our midst, as intermingling and becoming intertwined with human life, worship extends past this hour into all the other hours. And it becomes a reflection of a life spent with God. I was trying to think about what does it look like to live a life of worship. Some of you might be familiar with this book, Gilead, by Marilynne Robinson. She tells the story of Pastor Ames, who's writing a letter to his son. Pastor Ames, John Ames, is dying, and he knows it. His heart no longer works like it once did. It flutters here and there. He isn't sure how much time he has left. So set in this in-between of life and the next, Pastor Ames writes all the things that he wants his son to know that he may not be able to share with him. We might think that he would sit down and write a moral lesson of what is right and wrong, of what his son should do in the world, of what is the best life. But as you read it, that's really not the letter he writes. The letter he writes is more a letter of worship. He writes of the undeserved grace and the second chance that he received in marrying again after his first wife and first child died in childbirth. He writes of the startling beauty that he sees in this miracle of life that is his young son when he is an old man. He writes of the struggles that he faced and the history of his family with faith and doubt, justice and injustice. And as it unfolds, you realize This is a letter of worship. Pastor Ames is not writing the answers to life, but he is writing about a way of seeing in the world, a way of being that sees God's grace in the ordinary moments, in the moments where his young son, in a fit of energy, gives him a very stern and passionate look, that he can only think that is a mark of grace in the world. He can identify the goodness of God in that stern and passionate expression. He sees the beauty of laughter, even when it's shared between two rascals who don't go to church. He notices the love and vulnerability and hardship of family. And in all that ordinariness, there is grace. And in seeing the holy in the midst of the ordinary, Pastor Ames sees God. And that is what he shares with his son. In the 1600s, there lived a man named Brother Lawrence, a monk who's well known for authoring a little text called Practicing the Presence of God. In this book, he writes about how he wanted a life spent with God. In all of the moments, he wanted to know that God was with him. So he began this habit of prayer, a habit of quietly speaking with God in his heart throughout the days. In hard moments, he would pray, Lord, I cannot do this unless you enable me. In unpleasant work, he turned to prayer and told the Lord, it is your business that I am doing. And even in the kitchen, as he washed dishes, a job he says he had quite the aversion to, he says that he could still see God in there, in the kitchen, while washing dishes. Seeing God in the ordinary bits of waking, eating, working, sleeping, and relating, because he could commune with God in prayer through it all. It sounds kind of complicated, this life of worship that the Christian life is supposed to lead into, but it is really quite simple. It's this melody that we make to God in our hearts as we live our lives with our eyes open, seeing God in the midst of it all, seeing the beauty and the joy and the moments of grace even in times of trial, seeing the strength in moments of great hardship. It's seeing God's grace in cool water on a hot day, or in a smile shared between two strangers while a child laughs on the subway. It's seeing God even while we wash dishes in the gift of having more than enough. A life of worship is one where we continually turn towards God in song and prayer on Sunday morning, but then also in seeing and prayer on Monday morning. This life of worship is another one of tension, where it is God's work, and yet it is also our work that we join in with. It is God's work to show us, but it is our work to join in and live out the transformation that God is doing. It is our work to notice what God has already shown us. So may we be a community, a people, who sees God at work around us and turn toward God who is at work within us. May we become people whose whole lives are worship. Amen. We continue.